and welcome to the Soto Mojo podcast. This time we're on number 13. Tonight it is Colby Patinode and Will Stone. Colby, say hello.
Hey, guys.
So tonight we'll be talking about the trade activity from this, you know, last couple of weeks, plus the quiet deadline from Jerry DePoto. And we'll just kind of give our brief analysis on it, on each of the deals and what we saw, from the nothing we saw today at the deadline. So first, we'll look at just the trade day Phelps. Colby, you want to give your piece on that? What do you think, kind of stuff?
Yeah, this was the trade I liked the most. It was, it's a pretty straightforward deal. They get, David Phelps, who has the rest of this year and next year under control. There's some talk that Phelps might move to the rotation next week or next year, which he did in New York. But for now, he's a nice righty to have that can pitch in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning. They gave up, I think it's pronounced Brian Hernandez. It could be Brian. And he's a nice prospect, but he is at least 2 or 3 years away at minimum. He's only an A-ball. He's kind of struggling there. So it's not like this guy is, they didn't give up a sure thing. They gave up a prospect who's nice for a relief pitcher who has 2 years of control. The deal was fair. He gave up three other prospects that aren't really going to amount to anything. I like Pablo Lopez. I like Miller, I like both of those pitchers. But at best, those are number five, number six type of starters. Maybe a long reliever, maybe. But the deal, I like it. It made the bullpen better. And it is a potential arm to add to the rotation next year. Because if Phelps can throw 95 in the rotation instead of 90, which he was throwing with New York, that could be a huge upgrade. He's got a really good curveball and a really good cutter. He's got the three pitches you need to be a big league starter. Can he sustain it over 6 or 7 innings? I don't know. But even if he can't, what you have for the rest of this year and next year is a solid late inning bullpen arm. So I like that one.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with that. I felt like the Mariners, two areas they really needed to address were bullpen strength, bullpen depth, and starting pitching. I would say depth, but we don't have a whole lot of starting pitching, so just starting pitching. I think they really did knock out that bullpen depth by adding a Phelps kind of thing. I would have liked to see them add, another arm or so, but we can talk to that later. But to get Phelps, to get a guy who's been pretty consistent, has had a really solid second half of the season. Even since April, he's had a really solid, chunk of numbers. It was good. And I think that what we parted with was definitely fair, and it seems like a good buy move, and that was the way the Mariners were trending. And so I think, DePoto really, he pulled his stuff right there. So then moving on to deal number two would be Marco Gonzalez from St. Louis to Seattle for Tyler O'Neill. And Colby, just what do you think?
I'm probably one of the more optimistic people on Marco Gonzalez.
Agreed.
I didn't really love it at first, but, as you learn more about Marco Gonzalez, you see that there's definitely something to like. That being said, despite my optimism on Marco Gonzalez, it still feels kind of like you traded a $1 bill for three quarters. It seems like, honestly, if they had gotten another prospect in the deal, like just some kind of, somebody in the late 20s of their prospect rankings, there's a few pitchers in there that I like. If they had gotten one of those guys along with Gonzalez, it still would have been, it still would have been a bummer, but it certainly wouldn't have been as questionable as it is. As it is, they get Marco Gonzalez, who's a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery. The Cardinals rushed him to the big leagues. I have a acquaintance, friend, whatever you want to call him, who writes over at Redbird Rants, and he was filling me in on Gonzalez. He really likes the guy. He's a fastball changeup type of guy. The curveball is kind of coming and going. It's not quite 100% there yet, but they like the projectability of it. He's a guy who Most people say he's a number five. I think he could be, a number four, maybe even a number three if he
Yeah.
can get the curveball working. He certainly likes him. He felt like the Cardinals rushed him to the big leagues before he was ready, and kind of shows in the numbers. And then he goes out and he has the injury. So if Marco Gonzalez had never had the Tommy John surgery, he's probably ranked roughly around where Tyler O'Neill was in all the prospect rankings. As it stands now, though, we don't know what Tyler Gonzalez can be. We don't know what Tyler or Marco Gonzalez can be. We don't know what Tyler O'Neill can be, So think we like Tyler O'Neill because he's ours and he's been great in the minors, but at the day, we don't have any idea how good a pro Tyler O'Neill is.
Very true.
But that all that being said, it felt light. It really did. And maybe we talk about this later, but how nice would it have been to have Tyler O'Neill when we all thought that maybe the Mariners had an outside shot at getting like Sonny Gray.
Yeah, for
I
real.
mean, that's a really nice piece,
Yeah.
and I'm bullish a little bit on Gonzalez. I think he's got more upside than people think, but it really left a bad taste in my mouth, and it was just really questionable. So we'll see how that one works out. But for now, I guess you call it an incomplete
Yeah.
because we don't know. But it was disappointing, I would say.
I think I'd have to agree. I also am pretty high on Marco Gonzalez, and I knew, I mean, like most of us, Mariners fans, really, Marco Gonzalez wasn't even anything on our radar, but I've known about him for a little bit solely on the fact that I have, family in Memphis, and I've been to Redbirds games. The Redbirds, like, my grandpa goes to Redbirds games like it's his job, essentially, and so he knew about Gonzalez, and so he'd text me just after the games, and he'd talk to me about just like the Redbirds, and so I knew this, who this Gonzalez guy was, and so when I saw we had traded for him, I was like, oh, I'm okay with that, but then I'm like, okay, wait, what's our return kind of thing, and then I see it's Tyler O'Neill, and it really feels like the Mariners kind of sold low a little bit on what Tyler O'Neill is. Granted, like you said, it isn't. We don't know what Tyler O'Neill is going to be at the big league level, and we don't know what Marco Gonzalez is going to be at the big league level. And technically, Gonzalez could be better, or they could be the same, or whatever. And DePoto said he feels like they were pretty equal, and he traded from an area of strength to get in an area of need. And like I can stomach that, but at the same time, it still does feel like the way Tyler O'Neill was, adjusting to AAA pitching, like after he, made the jump from AA to AAA and then kind of struggled, but then he started to find his stride and he's just kind of started to tear it up after that. You're kind of like, oh goodness, like, did we really just, trade away one of our top guys for, kind of an unknown? But, Marco Gonzalez, he has had really solid moments at AAA. I mean, he has like a sub-3 ERA this year. Will had a sub-3 ERA with Memphis. I don't know after his first start where his ERA is at right now, his first start with Tacoma. But he had a sub-3 ERA with Memphis. He's posted good numbers. But at the same time, also, like you said, Tyler O'Neill would have been a nice piece if we had been trying to go get Sonny Gray or something like that. And I was thinking that same kind of train of thought the other day. I was like, wow, like, we can't. Like now that Haniger's injured, we're not going to probably be dealing him anywhere to try and, get that. And I don't know if the Mariners would have even had enough to get a Gray or something like that anyway. But had they, like, had it come down to like Haniger plus Lewis plus, smaller pieces or whatever for Sonny Gray, Haniger and Tyler O'Neill seem pretty, interchangeable there, at least probably in the A's brass eyes. And so it was just kind of one of those where it feels a little too bad that Tyler O'Neill, the, guy the Mariners fan base has been high on for, at least a couple years, and, kind of like this future bright spot, future outfielder, kind of thing. Like, we're just all hyped on him, and we traded him for, just really a big unknown, and it's a little hard. Yeah, I would agree. It leaves the bad taste in the mouth, and it just kind of is like, oh goodness, what did we just do? So, yeah.
Right. It's the, you know, I, a lot of this has to do with prospect rankings too. Because if Gonzalez was even like ranked number 100 on some of the major websites, people would probably would have looked at that and said, okay, it's not great, but it's palatable, whatever. But There are a lot of people down on Gonzalez, mainly because they've seen him in the big leagues and he hasn't been fantastic there yet. But if they had traded Tyler O'Neill for some 25-year-old who was in the big leagues and had been okay, we all would have been like, okay, that's
Yeah.
creative. If they had traded him for Seth Lugo, who we just saw
True.
yesterday for the Mets, everybody would have been like,
I'm okay with that.
they would have, at least I understand,
Yeah.
And of course, it looks bad. It looks especially bad now that we have the benefit of hindsight. Mitch Haniger's out.
Yeah, and Tyler O'Neill could actually be playing.
Right. And maybe they would have given him the call up. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Leonis Martin was tearing it up, but it's still, it looks kind of, it looks bad right now. And I think ultimately, we could look back on this trade in 3 years and say, okay, the Mariners traded a above average outfielder for an above average pitcher,
Yeah.
and that's fine, and that looks good, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the best case scenario, because I don't think you're going to look at it as saying, hey, we traded some power hitting outfielder who can't, who's going to hit 200 for an ace. That's not going to be the case.
Yeah,
So
no.
it's, like I said, it's tough to stomach. I think we'll see Gonzalez soon, mainly because Seattle didn't pick anybody up today.
Yeah,
But I think you'll see
exactly.
Gonzalez sooner rather than later, and we'll see how he looks. And hopefully Jerry Depoto. I think Jerry Depoto's smarter than us, but
Yeah.
it's still a head scratcher, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure. Okay, well then we can just move right along to the next deal where Jerry DePoto again tries to go for some more pitching. But instead of going for Sonny Gray or even someone like a Irvin Santana or Jaime Garcia, he goes for Erasmo Ramirez. And that name should strike fear into everyone's hearts, and by everyone I mean Seattle Mariners fans' hearts, because as we all know, Erasmo Ramirez has been something with the Mariners, because this is his second stint. Colby, I've already painted him negatively, and maybe that's just bias from just kind of bitterness, I guess. But what do you think? Do you have any positive thoughts, negative thoughts? What are you feeling?
Actually, I like the trade itself. I don't like the end result where Erasmo Ramirez has suddenly been, thrusted into your starting rotation. I honestly thought that they had acquired him to be a bullpen guy, and he's been quite good in the bullpen this year. He has a low 3 ERA and a sub 1 WHIP out of the bullpen this year. He's a guy who can come in and throw 2 or 3 innings. He can get through the lineup once, basically.
Yeah.
And and I know they were looking for that. They tried Max Posey there. I think that would have been Pagan's spot, Emilio Pagan, but he's really pitching well, and they're starting to use him in higher leverage situations, which is nice to see. So when the trade went down, I thought, hey, this is the Chris Stavinsky type they've been trying to
Yep,
find,
yep.
and if he can help bridge the gap when your starter can only go 4 innings or whatever, and he can go 5, 6, and 7, and get the ball to Phelps or Benson or whatever, yeah, that's fine for C-Shack, who's kind of similar-ish, and Ramirez has the 2 years of control after this, and C-Shack was going to leave. He's a free agent after this year, so I mean, on the surface, it made sense. I think the common refrain is it's a nice move, it helps, but this has to be backed up by the acquisition of a real starting pitcher,
Yep.
and it wasn't. So but at the time it went down, I said, hey, it's not the sexiest move, but I mean, at the very least, it's a lateral move, but you get 2 more years with Erasmo than you do with C-Shack. So at the time, I liked it. Didn't love it, but I thought it was, a smart
Reasonable.
move that, yeah, I think that's the best word for it.
I think I would totally agree on what you're saying. Like, Ramirez has put up solid numbers out of the pen, in that kind of weird middle-ish reliever role where, like, he can go a couple innings, but not really much more than that before he really starts to get, hammered. And I think it was one of those where I was kind of hoping when we traded for him, when I looked at his stats and stuff like that, it was one of those where it was like, if we could pair him or something like that, pair him with, like Yovani Gallardo or one of those kind of guys, and it's like the first one throws a short start And then Ramirez throws, like a couple innings after that, and then we kind of pair them to get an actual start. That's not the best way of doing, your rotation ever, but it's one of those where like it's a little bit of an outside the box approach at getting a solid outing from your pitchers who really, some of them are quality, some of them aren't, and the Mariners just don't have a lot to work with here. And so if you're really trying to, makes a push for the postseason or whatever, you kind of got to take whatever you can, to just like, I don't know. I mean, just like essentially we're piecing together a team that's trying to contend, and it felt like Ramirez was an okay addition there, but then to say that he's going to be your starter on Texas, it's a little bit of kind of just like a one of those, blinking gifs of like, wait, what? What's going on here? Like, you're really gonna throw Erasmo Ramirez back into the starter role where he hasn't thrived this year? Like you're taking his strength and you're not using it, and you're gonna put him in a spot where he's been pretty not good this year. And so, I don't know. I think it was one of those where I get why we traded for him. I don't really have a problem for trading for him, but I think the fact that we're using him as a fifth starter seems a little bit, not like the smartest idea, but whatever.
Yeah, it's just it's just a bigger picture part of the disappointment from today. But at least I think it makes sense. I perfectly understand what he was doing, and I understand that there was probably going to be a point where Erasmo would have to spot start, and maybe that's what this is. Maybe maybe Gonzalez is coming up and they really like him, and they move Gonzalez up into the rotation and he really pitches well. And then you can bump, you could bump Erasmo to where he's better, and maybe that's what this is. But there's a lot of maybes for a team that's trying to compete for the playoffs in that rotation. So, like the deal individually, fine. The deal when you look at it in the scope of the entire deadline, it's underwhelming.
Yeah, agree, agree. Okay, so then give us your take on today's deadline lack of activity, I guess.
It's frustrating. You sit here and you ask yourself, did the Mariners do enough? And when you look at a team like the Yankees, who acquire Robertson and Frazier and Canely, and then you look at and then today they get Sonny Gray, and you're saying, that's a team we have to compete against. Either they're going to win the West or they're going to be in the wild card hunt. We have to, or the East, or they're going to be in the wild card hunt. We have to try and compete with them. You look at a team like, you look at Boston. They go get Nunez, who's a nice piece that the Mariners could have used, and they got Addison Reed. In Kansas City, they got Hamill, and they got Kansas City made a few moves. They got Melky Cabrera. These are and Tampa Bay went out and completely redid their bullpen and added Lucas Duda to their offense, who's a power hitting, first base slash DH type. They all got better, and I don't know that the Mariners did. I don't think they got worse. I think
True.
that's important. I don't think the Major League team got any worse. And it probably did get a little bit better because Phelps is a. I think he's an upgrade over Cshek.
True.
But did it get. You just look at all these teams that are around them and battling for the same spot, and they're going out there and they're getting these horses, and you're kind of. It's like you're trying to wage war with, a super soaker.
Yep, it's
And,
true.
part of that is the farm system. You don't really have a lot to move. But you look at some of these trades that went down with like the rental players. It was absolutely it was a buyer's market for rentals.
True.
Some of these guys went for almost not like marginal prospects at best. And I'm sitting there thinking, Seattle's farm system is filled with marginal
It's
prospects.
true.
You couldn't find a way to outbid somebody for an Addison Reed, who could really help the back end of your bullpen, or you couldn't find a way to get Jaime Garcia or Lance Lynn, who are at least, a veteran presence in the rotation. I understand why you're not going to go get a Sonny Gray. Like, I understand. I think any possibility of that Sonny Gray trade went out the window when Mitch Haniger got hit
Yep,
in the face.
that's true.
And I don't think it was going to happen before then, but even the slightest 5% possibility,
Yep,
it's
gone.
gone because at that point you didn't have Tyler O'Neill anymore. It wasn't going to work, and I understand that, and that's fine. I wanted Jerry to go out and get a rental And you're not going to be able to afford Darvish. You look at what the Dodgers gave up. The Mariners don't have that player in their farm system. The closest player they have in their farm system to that is probably Kyle Lewis. You're not giving him up for a rental. I
No.
understand
Yep.
that. So you just it's disappointing. You look at what all the other four teams that are competing for the same spot are for, there's four the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to war for the East. I think one of them will win it, and then you have the loser of that battle, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and you.
Yep.
And they all got better. And I don't know if you I don't know if you did. What do you think?
I think that I totally agree. I think there wasn't a lot the Mariners could do for the criteria that Jerry said he wanted. He wanted team controllable players. He wanted, he basically kind of said he wanted stuff that he could have. Like, he wanted a team controllable starting pitcher for cheap, but the problem is, you're not going to get a valuable option in that category unless you have quality prospects, and the Mariners just don't have a very good farm system. I mean, that's just a fact, and it's just years of bad drafts, and hopefully they'll fix that, in the future. But when DePoto comes in and takes over for past brass, he kind of just has to deal with that. And so the problem is, he's not going to get a controllable starting pitcher. But honestly, it's okay if you don't get a controllable starting pitcher, because right now you have an okay product of a team that the Mariners do have an okay team. Like, they're not great. They could maybe, if they get a little bit of luck, they could maybe make that wild card game 163. If they get a little more luck, they could win game 163. And if they get a lot of luck, maybe they could actually do something in the playoffs. Currently, they could do that. But the problem is, currently, that's really dependent on breaks and hoping everything goes right. And if everything goes 100% right, the best thing you're going to get is probably get bounced in the ALDS. It's just,
Against
yeah,
Houston.
it's just one of those where it's like, you're not good enough to really do much. And so it's one of those where it's like, you might as well, trade some of your fringe relievers for Lucas Duda. Go trade some of your, little pieces for their good pieces, and just play for the playoffs for this year, because you have an okay product of a team. You might as well just go make the playoffs and break your 16-year drought. Like, I know, as shallow as that sounds, you might as well just go
No.
do it, because your team's okay, and you can actually, this team can win. They've shown they can win, but they need better starting pitching. They need a little help in the bullpen. And, some of our guys like Nelson Cruz are just beat up, and they'll need a break every once in a while. So it wouldn't have been the end of the world for the Mariners to go and acquire a Jaime Garcia, a Lucas Duda, and, a bullpen arm. But yeah, well,
Right.
yeah.
I don't think it's shallow to say that they should go out and try to make the playoffs. I think there's value to getting to the playoffs, even if you don't win a playoff game. You get there, you show everybody that you're here, you're for real, and you take that momentum into the off season
Yeah.
where, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on a future podcast, but right now the Mariners are projecting to have about $25 to $30 million to play with over the off season. Jerry DePoto is going to be creative with trades there, and it felt like they just sat in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
If I honestly that anything that they would have done today, I probably would have been able to rationalize it. If they went out today and they shocked everybody and they traded Nelson Cruz,
Yeah.
I would have been like, hey, you know what, it's teardown mode in the off season. They're going to trade Seager, they're going to probably shop Paxton. I understand that, that's fine. If they had went out and gotten Sonny Gray or
Yeah.
one of those, you're awesome.
Yeah.
They're going for it. Let's do this. Let's get behind the team and let's go. And even if they had said, you know what, this year's probably not looking good. We just couldn't compete with these other teams who made deals. So let's go ahead and let's shop Danny Valencia for a
Yeah.
team who wants a right-handed bat. Let's shop Jerod
Jerod
Dyson,
Dyson, yep, those kind of
guys who
guys.
aren't going to be here next year, more than
But
likely. Let's go shop those guys.
for the
Yeah, and let's
Mariners,
see.
oh,
Go
sorry.
ahead.
No, just for the Mariners to just sit there and say, oh, hey, we're going to be content with the team. Like, I appreciate the vote of confidence on Jerry DePoto's part of saying, I think we have a sustainable product. That bodes well for morale. Hey, that's good. Like, it's a moral victory. But the problem is, moral victories don't actually mean anything in the grand scheme of things. And it's one of those where it's like, we're going to be a sustainable product of, you know, 500 or a little bit above. And, you know, the best this current team is, like really the best they are, is maybe going to make the wild card. But the problem is, like you were saying, when Kansas City got better, and they're already good, and then when they get better, then when Boston gets better, when New York gets a lot better, when, you know, Tampa Bay gets better, like, we've just sat around, and the four teams that we're really competing with at the moment are just, you know, really actually making moves, and we're not. It's kind of like, well, if we're going to surrender 2017, we didn't get all that much better for 2018. And the problem is, we do. We lose the Danny Valencia, and we will likely lose, you know, the Jerrod Dyson. Like, we'll likely lose some contributors from 2017 to 2018. And so to not really capitalize on this right now just felt a bit, yeah, frustrating. I think it was the word I would use, too. Goodness.
They didn't need to go out and get Sundre. I wanted them to.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'll talk about that whole disaster on Mariners Twitter in a minute here.
Yeah.
I wanted them to get Sonny Gray, but I also knew it wasn't realistic.
True.
Why not go out and get a veteran catcher like Kurt Suzuki, who can actually contribute something, unlike Carlos Ruiz? You know, why not go out and make these marginally... Why not go out and get a utility guy,
yeah,
who's going to be better than Danny Espinosa, Sean O'Malley, or Taylor Motter?
Yeah.
You know, why not go out and get Jaime Garcia, who got traded twice, and go out there and say, hey, you know what? It's not much, but it is a veteran number five guy, and we're getting better around the fringes, and we're going to hope that Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, and Kyle Seager all get on a tear.
Well, and Kyle Seager, he's on a tear right now. Since the All-Star break, he's hitting .333 with an OPS of 1078. And, like, you know, Cruz, he slumps sometimes, but he busts out in big ways. And, you know, if the Mariners had just shorn down the edges a little bit, it's one of those where it's like, you know, it's not unrealistic to think that this team could win game 163 and then make a playoff series and say, hey, look, free agents, you know, or whoever you are that we're going to try and sign, who we're going to try and trade for, you know, like, come play in Seattle, because here in Seattle, like, we haven't been good for a while, but we're actually starting to kind of put the pieces together. We have Gene Segura. We have a young Ben Gamel. We have, you know, a couple
Mitch
of those.
Haniger.
Yeah, we have Mitch Haniger. We have James Paxton. We have guys that really roll.
Kyle Seager.
I was trying to think today.
Robinson,
just like,
Cano carries a lot of weight.
Yeah,
you know?
Just the name alone. But just when you look at it and you're like, oh, you know, even if we, you know, in a couple of years when we don't have Nelson Cruz, who's, you know, the big, you know, slugger kind of guy, even if when you know, I mean, obviously we've got Cano around for a while, but even when Cruz and Cano are gone, like your young team still boasts, you know, Gene Segura, it boasts, you know, guys like Ben Gamel, Mitch Haniger, James Paxton, like if they can kind of keep re-signing those kind of core guys, like that's a solid group of guys right there. And it's not, you know, unrealistic to think that saying, hey, look, we got a guy who, you know, played for Cy Young, you know, this year. Like he's in the running for a Cy Young award. We've got that kind of guy as our ace. We've got, you know, other pieces. We're working on it. Come play. Come be a part of Seattle. Come, you know, we made the playoffs this year, but let's kind of build some momentum into future years. But when you just continuously go, you know, like 88 and 84 or whatever, like, you're not really doing anything to help anything. You're just saying, all right, we're just going to be content to win a little bit above, you know, what we did last time, and we're just going to kind of casually play for next year. And
right.
Then that next year never comes, and you're just kind of like left, well, okay, hopefully.
You're trying to sit in the middle, and that's not the – you either need to suck hard for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Or you need to say, you know what, let's go throw money at this. And I'm not calling the Mariners cheap by any means. Yeah. Look at the money they've invested recently.
Yeah.
They're not a cheap organization. But hey, let's go do this. Let's go trade. We're willing to trade Kyle Lewis because we understand that Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, and Felix Hernandez are all coming out of their prime.
Yep.
And Kyle Seager's just about to enter the very tip-top of his prime.
Yep.
We have Gene Segura. We have Ben Gamel. We're willing to go out there and we're willing to trade everything we have for the right piece right now, and go find it. It's not from a lack of trying. We know Jerry Dipoto is always on the phones.
Yep.
And, you know, quick side note, there's still, you know,
yeah,
you look at,
we
you
got
still
August.
Trade in August. Yeah, there, you know, Irvin Santana is going to clear waivers. Justin Verlander is certainly going to clear waivers. Maybe Jeff Samardzija could probably clear waivers. I bet, Johnny Cueto can clear waivers. And DePoto's made trades in August in the past. That's where we got Ben Gamel, August 31st.
am so
So,
thankful he cleared waivers.
right? Yeah, that's, maybe we can have a whole podcast dedicated to how weird Ben Gamel's success story
Yes,
turned.
for real.
But yeah, it's great to see. And that's why it's disappointing when I read on Twitter and I look at, when the first news of Sonny Gray kind of broke, hey, the Mariners might be in play here. And people just, there was just, it was,
Yeah.
I think we ran a poll and it almost ran 50-50.
It did. It
Like,
was 52% yes, 48% no. For should the Mariners
yeah.
pursue?
And A, you should always pursue.
Yeah.
If it's just pursue, it should be 100% yes. Why not? What do you have to lose? And, but I just saw a lot of people like, well, not if we have to give up Kyle Lewis. And I was,
Or
are you
see what they can do.
insane?
Like, Kyle Lewis is achieving zero for the big league club right now, and probably won't actually achieve anything for the big league club for a few years now. And so you might as well swap him for a elite starting pitcher. I mean, you can say, oh, well, he's had a middling 2017. Well, he came back from injury at the beginning, but the trend of like his career plus how the last, 12 starts have gone for him, like he's a stud pitcher, and you're going to have him for a run in 2017 plus 2 more years. I talked to a guy today who was saying that he didn't like the, he's a Yankees fan, and he was saying that he didn't like the Yankees trade for Sonny Gray. And I'm like, dude, you're getting a stud pitcher for the end of 2017, and especially for the Yankees who are really contenders, and even the Mariners who would have been contenders. Like, you're swapping for a solid pitcher, and if you have the firepower to get him, then that's a great
Do
trade,
it.
because to especially for the Mariners situation, to have him for the 2 more years, like pair him and James Paxton, like that's a 1-2 punch about as good as anybody. And so it's like you might as well give up Kyle Lewis. I would have been super bummed to see Mitch Haniger go, but I would have understood that, the Mariners really need starting pitching, and Sonny Gray is a stud, and I would love to see Sonny Gray and James Paxton pitch back to back. So, yeah.
Right, and Kyle Lewis in 2017, what's his WAR going to be for the Seattle Mariners?
Zero.
Zero. What's it going to be in 2018?
Probably zero.
Zero. 2019, it might be zero.
Still zero.
Yeah, so what is Sonny Gray worth to you in 2017? Probably 2 or 3 wins. What is he worth in 2018? Probably 2 or 3 wins.
Yeah, maybe it'll.
Trading Mitch Haniger was tough, but if you told me Kyle Lewis, Mitch Haniger gone, and then we have an outfield, we have Dyson, Heredia, Gamel, and Martin.
Yeah.
That's still an elite defensive
Yeah,
outfield.
with speed.
Haniger has not been really, he's
He's
hurt you at the
been
plate the
slumping.
last few
Yep.
months. Yeah. And then I say, okay, now I have Sonny Gray to pair with Felix Hernandez and James Paxton. And if I don't make the playoffs, guess what I get to go do? To Yu Darvish, who's a free agent after this year, to Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
I get to go say, hey, we have Paxton, we have Gray, we have Felix. Let's get you, and we're going to take a serious run at this
We're
thing.
gonna
Because
have
that 1 through 4,
four legit starters. Like,
that 1 through 4 is as good as anybody except maybe Washington.
and even so, still up there. I mean,
Yeah,
that's
it's a top five rotation
you'd
easy.
have a 1-2-3 of Gray, Paxton, and whoever that free agent would be. And then you've got a Felix Hernandez who just still, I mean, his name's Felix Hernandez, and he carries a bunch of weight in Seattle. And it's just kind of like one of those where, so what if he's a different Felix Hernandez? So what if he's not the Felix Hernandez he's been for the rest of his career? Like, it's still Felix Hernandez, James Paxton, Sonny Gray, and another guy. Like, the Mariners should have, just gone out there and said, look, we're gonna go all in for these next couple of years when it really matters. And, some of those free agents, like, you don't have to sign with us for, the kind of duration of a contract that we gave to, Seager, the kind of duration we gave to Cano, kind of stuff. Like, you don't have to sign with us for the rest of your life, but, sign with us for a couple of years. Let's roll this thing. Let's see what happens, and let's make some moves, And the Mariners instead were just like, hey guys, let's go win 88 games again, and let's, come back here, do it all again next year, Like, let's do this. So, and it just kind
Yeah,
of
and
is one of those where you're just kind of stuck a little bit because, as tough as it is that they don't really have much of a farm, like, might as well do something. But
yeah, the farm. Oh, this final point on this for me, for now, I could go a whole hour
same.
On this. Is that the farm system is here? The whole point of a farm system. There's one point in the farm system
to make your
to acquire major league talent, whether that means you develop it
or trade for,
or you use it and you trade it. That's it. Nobody cares what the Tacoma Rainiers record is. I don't care what the Modesto Nuts finish. Are there players developing down there that are going to help my big league club? Yes or no?
Yeah. Maybe.
If the answer is no, yeah, then trade them for people who can. If the answer is yes, see what happens.
Exactly.
Maybe roll the dice and keep them. Maybe trade them. I don't know. But I don't care what the Tacoma Rainiers record is. Sorry, I don't. I only care about the Seattle Mariners, and that's the point of the farm system.
Exactly. Exactly. It is too bad. It just really, yeah, it's one of those where it's like a lot of Mariners fans kind of feel like, oh, we don't want to just mortgage here. But it's one of those where it's like you're not mortgaging your future when you trade Kyle Lewis and Kanger for Sonny Gray. Like that's not what that is. You're saying, okay, we're gonna sacrifice, you know, two, you know, solid players, but we're also gonna be acquiring Sonny Gray for 2 years, well, 2.5 years, and it's, you know, we're making a statement here. And I think it's just one of those where it's like, you know, it is like you were saying, you know, your farm system is to make your team better, your big league club better, and the Mariners are like, hey, let's have a good farm system. And consistently, it feels like, I know last year we had the best minor league record in the majors, majors is stupid. Out of the 30 big like major league teams, our farm system had the best cumulative record, and that means jack. And that's, I think, the part that, you know, is really frustrating. Is like, you know, like we had a good farm system, like we won a lot of games. Cool. We like those championships do not correlate to, you know, major league championships. And like, I'm glad we've got good prospects down there, but the problem is, like, if you're not going to do anything with those prospects, because our big league team, you know, we added one rookie, like, we have one rookie starting for us this year, really, I mean, like, essentially, and that's Mitch Haniger, and we went and traded for him. And so we didn't really do much with our farm system to make our big league club better this year, and...
traded for Ben Gamble, too.
Yeah, exactly, and so, yeah, and I'm overlooking Gamble there, sorry, my bad. But it was one of those where I'm like, when you're looking at an in-house guys for this year, from last year to this year, you didn't do a whole lot to make this team better. And it's one of those where it's kind of like, oh, goodness, what are we doing here? Like, why not just, you know, use some of our prospects, use what we have, make our team better? But, goodness, it's hopefully DePoto knows what he's doing in this regard, and he's got a much bigger plan than we can see at the moment. But at the moment, it feels a little bit like a punch in the gut. That's like, this team, you know, isn't going to be great for very long. You know, they don't have, like, the sustainable product this team is producing right now is, you know, 88 wins, you know, at best. And it kind of just feels like, you know, if they had, you know, made a couple of moves, they could have been, you know, an actual playoff team this year. But they're not there, and they're probably not going to be there next year. I mean, unless they can make some great moves in the offseason and really figure that out. DePoto just kind of, it felt like he kind of botched this one a little bit.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, who knows. Anyway, you got anything else on this, for this podcast, before we close her out?
No, you know, Mariners have a tough road trip coming up.
Yeah, sure. And they
probably have to go.
Yeah.
Probably have to have a winning road trip. I think
for sure.
It's.
How?
What do they got?
Yeah, how many games do they have? Because they got 3 against Texas. They got 4 against Kansas City. Do they go home after Kansas City, or is it more on the road?
I think they're home for the only time in August after
okay.
that.
So, yeah, you've got to. You have to have a winning record against Kansas City and Texas, especially Kansas City, because they're the team you're chasing. Hopefully, the fun fact, you know, for the viewers, or not the viewers, the listeners who are going to hear this, you know, in the future, the Mariners are currently losing 4-0, so that's not going to, you know, mean anything to you when you hear this. But it's one of those where if they lose this game, They've got to win the next two against Texas. And thankfully, we don't have to face Yu Darvish. You know, that was the one good thing to come out of this trade deadline, is that we don't play against Yu Darvish tomorrow. Granted, we kind of did well against him this year, but, you know, it's always nice to not have to face Yu Darvish. But if we don't win the next two games, and then don't – I mean, I figure you got to go at least 2-1 against Texas, and at the bare minimum, split with Kansas City. And then you finish the road trip a solid 4-3, but you're one game above 500. You split with the Royals, handing them two losses, and you don't fall any further back of them in the wild card race. But if they can't do that, I feel like it's got to be time to mail her in. But
at the end of the day, the Mariners, if they want to make the playoffs, they need to go somewhere in the next 2 months. They need to find an 8-game win streak. That just come, you know.
True.
Because that's the only – they're not going to do it at this point by just, you know, winning 3 out of 4 series.
Yeah,
it's not going to get it done.
Yeah, like, hey, we'll go one game above 500. We'll go, you know, we'll go a couple games back under, but then we'll crawl our way back to a couple over, and then, you know, we'll just keep rolling that way. You know, the way that the Mariners have done it all year. At this moment, they're 53-53 with a run differential of +1. And if that isn't the story of the 2017 Mariners, I don't know what it is. So, it's just one of those where it's like, you know, you're really right. They gotta find a groove, and they have to really just, you know, start rolling and putting some actual wins together if they're gonna really make a shot at something in 2017. And hopefully DePoto will go grab somebody in August. Hopefully he'll better this team. Hopefully Marco Gonzalez comes up and pitches like a stud, and the Mariners find some kind of something. But it's a little hard to just whimsically hope for the best in this situation.
Yeah, hope is not a solution.
Exactly.
Sorry to be pessimistic, totally, but in baseball, hope is not a
totally
solution.
Totally true. The Mariners need to find some kind of solid anything to just grab onto and start, you know, using that and leverage it into some wins. But for the moment, to just kind of play around, you know, here, they're kind of just stuck, so... Good times in the life of the Seattle Mariners. So, fun. Anyway, all right. Well, then, closing thoughts. I think we've wrapped it up. So, I guess that concludes the 13th episode of the Soto Mojo Podcast for 2017.